we prepare our hearts to celebrate communion together, I want to talk with you just a little bit more about Isaiah 55 and how that connects with our call to come and celebrate communion with one another. But before I do that, I want to share with you a story that's gone around on the internet. It's a story about a doctor who spent a lot of time working in South Africa. One night I had worked hard to help a mother in the labor ward, but in spite of all we could do, she died, leaving us with a tiny, premature baby and a crying 2-year-old daughter. We would have difficulty keeping the baby alive as we had no incubator. In fact, we had no electricity even to run an incubator. We also had no special feeding facilities. And although we lived on the equator, nights were often chilly with treacherous drafts. One student midwife went for the box we had for such babies and the cotton wool that the baby would be wrapped in. Another went to stoke up the fire and fill a hot water bottle. She came back shortly in distress to tell me that in filling the bottle, it had burst. Rubber doesn't do real well in some of these tropical climates. "And it is our last hot water bottle," she exclaimed. "As in the West, it is no good crying over spilled milk. So, in Central Africa, it might be considered no good crying over burst water bottles. They don't grow on trees. There are no drug stores that are down the forest paths." "All right," I said. "Put the baby as near the fire as you safely can. Sleep between the baby and the door. Try to keep it from all the drafts. Your job is to keep this baby warm." The following noon, as I did most days, I went to have prayers with any of the orphanage children who chose to gather with me. I gave the youngsters various suggestions and things to pray about. I told them about the tiny baby. I explained our problem about keeping the baby warm enough, mentioning the hot water bottle, and that the baby could so easily die if it got chills. I also told them of the 2-year-old sister crying because her mother had died. During that prayer time, one 10-year-old girl, Ruth, prayed with the usual blunt conciseness of our African children. "Please, God," she prayed, "send us a hot water bottle today. It'll be no good tomorrow, God, as the baby will be dead. So please, send it this afternoon." Well, I gasped inwardly at the audacity of the prayer, she added, "and while you're about it, would you please send a dolly for the little girl so that she'll know you really love her?" As often with children's prayers, I was put on the spot. Could I honestly say amen to what this little girl had said? I just did not believe God could do this. Oh yes, I know that God can do everything. The Bible says so. But there are limits, aren't there? The only way God could answer this particular prayer would be to send me a parcel from the homeland. I'd been here in Africa for almost 4 years at the time. I'd never, ever received a parcel from home. Anyway, if someone did send me a parcel, who would put in a hot water bottle? I live next to the equator. Well, about halfway through the afternoon, while I was teaching at the nurses' training school, a message was sent that there was a car at my front door. By the time I reached home, the car had gone, but there on the veranda was a large 22-pound parcel. I felt tears prickling my eyes. I could not open the package alone, so I sent for the orphanage children. Together, we pulled off the string, carefully undoing each knot. We folded the paper, taking care not to tear it unduly, because the excitement was mounting. Some 30 or 40 pairs of eyes were focused on this large cardboard box. From the top, I lifted out brightly colored knitted jerseys. Eyes sparkled as I gave them out. Then there were the knitted bandages for the leprosy patients, and the children looked a little bored. Then came a box of mixed raisins and sultanas that would make a batch of buns for the weekend. Then, as I put my hand in again, I felt, could it really be? I grasped it and I pulled it out, And yes, it was a brand new rubber hot water bottle. And I cried. I had not asked God to send it. I had not even truly believed that God could send it. But Ruth was in the front row of the children. And she rushed forward crying out, "If God has sent the bottle, He must have sent the dolly too." Rummaging down to the bottom of the box, she pulled out some small, beautifully dressed doll. Her eyes shone. She had never doubted. Looking up at me, she asked, "Can I go over with you and give this doll to that little girl so she'll know that Jesus really loves her?" "Of course," I replied. That parcel had been on the way for 5 whole months, packed up by my former Sunday school class, whose leader had heard and obeyed God's prompting to send a hot water bottle, even to the equator. And one of the girls had put a doll for an African child 5 months before in answer to the believing prayer of a 10-year-old to bring it that afternoon. Earlier we heard from Isaiah and his invitation to come and to eat, to come and to drink, to come and to see all that God has provided. He offered that message up to a people in exile, to a people that were hungry, who were hurting, who were broken, who were wondering what the future held for them. They had no way to pay for it. They were slaves in a foreign land. Yet Isaiah says it's free. And he tells of a day when things will get even better and they'll go forth and see a springtime like they've never seen before. Isaiah would later write in chapter 65, "Before they call, I will answer." We see that come alive in the story from South Africa. Where it comes from, who this doctor is, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Is it exact to each and every detail? That I couldn't tell you. But I can tell you that it's a story that's come alive in the lives of people all down through the ages. The way that God's grace has provided for them in the most unexpected ways and in moments when they thought they couldn't even ask. What are some of the ways that God has provided for you when you've least expected it? And when you've maybe thought you couldn't ask? Maybe you believed, yes, God could do it, but will God do it? And if I'm not sure, is it really worth taking the time to ask? Better, yeah, what if this doctor had not taken the time to step away from his class and to go to see who it was at his door? What if he hadn't taken this time to unwrap the package and see what was inside? How this child would have suffered and gone without the hot water bottle that would be needed to keep her alive. I wonder how many times God provides for us in packages that we don't recognize or don't have the time to unwrap. When we work night and day for food that doesn't satisfy to get by in life, and we miss something that God has put right in front of us to bless us, like time with friends and family, with one another. And yet, today we come to celebrate the gift of Holy Communion. We come to celebrate God's gift of grace to us in this time and in this place. A time when we celebrate that where two or three are gathered in God's name, God is present in a special way. Isaiah says all of this food that is needed, all of these things that have been provided for by God are free. And the Bible makes that clear time and time again, that God's grace is free. Or is it? Because we can't take just one scripture by itself. We need to take the whole story. And we realize that while it's a gift that's freely offered to us, to each and every one of us, and to those in the world that live around us, and to those in all times and all places down through the ages, It's a gift that does come with a price. It's just that God has already paid it. It's kind of like a debit card that's already been paid with everything that we need. Paid because God was willing to do what needed to be done to reconnect with us. And God will do whatever it takes to reconnect with us. God will take every step but the last. And we have to be willing to come. We have to be willing to open up our hearts and receive that which God has put right there in front of us. That which God is giving to us each and every day of our life. Christ paid the price for the gift of God's grace. Born in the flesh, baptized into the sin and death, the pain and suffering of our lives and of this world, to do what we could never do on our own. He opens up the door for us to draw near to God because God's already drawing near to us. To receive the grace we need for the moments of our life. He does that by humbly laying down His life. We see Him laying down His life not only in His baptism and rising up out of the waters, but in walking through life with disciples that would turn their back and walk away when He needed them the most, yet being willing to teach them everything they need to know, to carry on the ministry, and to pass on His authority to us and all of those in between. We'd see Him laying down His life, reaching out, healing and caring for those that were hurting and broken and suffering from diseases like leprosy. Many would be grateful and some would hardly even take time to say thanks. But yet He continued to reach out with a kindness and compassion and an authority that no one had ever known. And then, even on that night before He would give up His life, even on that night before He would end up on the cross and take His deep last breath with a deep sigh and say, "It is finished," paying the price for it all, He gathered His disciples. He gathered those that He cared about the most. Just like we've gathered here today, Jesus gathered them in the upper room. And it was there in that upper room that they would celebrate the Passover. They would celebrate that great tradition of remembering what God had done and how God had led them up out of Egypt through the hard work and the faithful and faithless work of Moses. They would remember that time when they'd put the blood on the doorpost of their homes. And that God had swept over the area and so many children in the land had died, but God had spared each and every one of their children. And they'd give thanks for that gift of grace. And it was there in the remembering at that Passover meal, in that rich and wonderful part of their tradition, that Jesus would do something new. That Jesus would surprise them by doing something in a different way. He would take the bread and He'd give thanks just like He had so many times before. But then He would look into the eyes of His beloved. He would break the bread and say, "This is My body, which is broken, which is given for you. Take this in remembrance of Me." The disciples had walked with Him for over 3 years. They'd heard Him describe Himself as the bread of life. He'd heard them talk about the abundant life that God wanted them and so many others to know, but it was about to come alive in a whole new way. And then when the supper was over, Jesus would take the cup, which was a rich and wonderful part of the tradition as well, and this time He would give thanks for the fruit of the vine. But this time He would look around the table to those who were fighting and arguing over who was the most important sitting there, and say, "This is the blood of the covenant, of the new covenant. This is My blood, which is poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins." And so God's grace has continued to be poured out all down through the ages, calling, inviting, and wooing each and every one of us to come and to share in God's grace for ourselves. And it's Jesus who invites us here today. And as you've heard me say many times before, each and every one of us is welcome at this table. Because Christ has already paid for it all. It's a time to set aside all of those things that get in the way of realizing God's grace and receiving God's grace in our life. And to come and see what God would do new and fresh in our life today. Let's take a moment, join our hearts together in prayer. Good and gracious God, we give You thanks for this season of Lent, this time of journeying towards Easter and the celebration of the resurrection. This time to remember that You are among us. That it is You who comes by the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing Your Word to life in this time and in this place, and inviting each one of us to come and to share in Your grace for ourselves. We pray that we might encounter You in a fresh and mighty way this morning. We pray that You'd pour out Your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and touch us in the way that we need to be touched. We pray that You pour out Your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and juice. Let them be for us the body and blood of Christ, broken and poured out not only for each and every one of us, for this world in all times and all places. We pray that You continue to pour out Your Holy Spirit on Your church, gathered around the world in different buildings, under different roofs, and in all times and in all places. And You'd continue to break down the walls that would separate us from being one in Your family and enjoying all that that would mean. And Lord, we look forward to that day when we would sit at the heavenly banquet table with You and feast in person with You forever. Lord, we ask these things and so much more than we could ever put into words as we look forward to what You would do with this time. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And again, everyone is welcome at the communion table in this church. I wanted to ask that we start with this section over here coming across, and then following the middle section, following across, and then back and looping around. And then finally, the last section going, making your way around the back, down the side, and then back to your seat. The table is open. Christ has invited each and every one of us here today, knowing that He's already paid it all. Come and enjoy, celebrate God's grace.
Jesus.